I
Sorry.
have this story printed out as a PDF, and it's called The Confused. Oops.
The confused what?
I was getting rid of the got it. It's called The Confused Clown. Ever listen to the song Bohemian Rhapsody that includes the refrain Scaramouche? Can we do the fandango? Wonder what the heck is a Scaramouche? And may we be considered as such, or are friends sometimes considered Scaramouches? Innocent bystanders are usually the victims of a tricky Scaramouche. And perhaps most female Scaramouchia are to be avoided. Sarah Una Volta, you might begin your story. One time there was, or declare like my friend would say in Arabic, this happened, or maybe it did not. The time is long past and much forgot. Or try to start a story, as would my friend from St. Petersburg, Russia. There was and there was not. Or stretch the end to finish the story by saying, as some of my ancestors of Celtic origins might end, I was present and drank mead. It ran down my chin, not into my mouth. I asked for a cap, received a slap as the story draws to a close. The Emperor Marcus Aurelius was entertained within his palace walls by clowns. The first documentation of Roman clowns appeared 2500 BCE. The clowns who entertained the emperor's court were dwarf clowns called rustic buffoons and named hussars. The name for the court jester in medieval times signified a periot or harlequin of the comedia. Most folks do not care to be tricked or deceived. Jean Gaspard du Perreux in the 19th century began a more recognizable version of today's clown, but was known to have killed a child with his walking cane. Pagliacci in 1892 brought the concept clown into the Italian opera as a killer. Joey Grimaldi added clown makeup as we recognize it in modern times, but he died a lonely alcoholic death despite the smile painted upon his face. Joker or trickster, really? Some of us may suffer from a touch of chlorophobia after having watched a few Batman movies. Makeup on the face distorted and grotesque. Heath Ledger and Joaquin Phoenix stand out. Still earlier, Mr. Punch actually beat his wife and children on the stage of the Tiny Puppet Theater. No wonder we take a second look at each clown face we encounter. Or perhaps we're all harmless clowns. The word probably descended from a Nordic word for clumsy. Possessing two natures, the finding may be improbable by anyone who stops to consider lifelong friendships where there appeared to be no hidden agenda or false nature. Even at an advanced age, anyone may be fooled. However, if we do not maintain vigilant attitudes. Here we begin the tale of Harlequin. Mischievous acrobat or Perrault, the sad, introspective, wandering fellow. Perrault fits the clown in this story of miscommunication and inability to adapt and change. A very sad, confused Perrault. Many transformations take place in this upcoming tale. The description of clown may also include rude one, vulgar fool, jackass, bozo, twat, churl, ill-bred person. So, a story, let it go, let it come, begins West African tales. Or, here is a story, story it is, quoted from Nigerian storytellers. Or perhaps, listen to tell it and tell it to teach it, offers Chilean storytellers. As one, many teaching artists, this idea is attractive. And so on with the story. Every day, this period checked the mailbox, but there was nothing in there. Only letters addressed to Pelagio or Buffoon, and addressed to Stupidus, along with numerous other foreign-sounding names. Oh, was she ever annoyed? No one would convince her that this mail may indeed have been meant for her, as she frantically surveyed each letter with postmarks from as far away as Spain, Greece, Italy, and Russia, basically from around the world. She refused to listen to good old advice, none at all. She would not listen to anyone at all, not even one elder who had once kindly offered her a nice breakfast, welcoming her when she first arrived at the village. No, she was so mad, just so angry, that she transformed from Perrault into Harlequin, as she raged and ranted and upset anyone near her. Villagers quietly began to avoid her, but were too fearful to do more. Some claimed it was not their responsibility. She was becoming a real authentic big magic trickster. Now in a rage, she swore to never check the mailbox again. Never ever. All the mail would simply be left unopened. Anything that landed in her box would be ignored and avoided. Weeks passed. Time moved along. Villagers mostly held their breaths. They lifted their heads slowly, since many were both elderly and arthritic, to view the sky as it now appeared less clear and less bright with each passing day. On top of her own head, the Harlequin outfitted herself with shiny lights that flashed wildly around her head, pulsating rapidly. Now she was ready to be mischievous. Her voice sounded louder and crackled electronically. She gestured in a menacing manner, thrusting her arms about her head, starting to swear, but still holding back actual obscenities that would follow. She pranced out to the mailbox and opened the lid. In one hell of an uproarious mood, she sprang first high, then low. She felt keenly ready and eager to show the entire world how frustrated by the lack of mail for her, the clown, she felt. Passing by massive hedges of forsythia, known invasive non-pollinator shrub species, the fully grown bushes offered nothing to native bees and butterflies, who sadly landed on barren blossoms. Harlequin trod towards the roadside where the box was located. All the way to her box, she stamped each foot. At the mailbox, an exquisite glistening spider web adorned the opening of the mailbox, draped over the entrance where the letters were daily placed. A spider had dutifully made sure no moths, creeping insects, no crawling-legged invaders had entered the box, keeping all the mail that waited for Harlequin safe. "What nerve!" she screamed. "How dare the natural world intrude on my box? This is my box, not a homeless spider drop-in center." She cried out in a loud voice, "My permission has absolutely not been granted." And with one quick motion, she smashed the web against the box and sent the spider airborne. Just like puppet wife Judy and her children had been sent backwards, upwards, sideways, when they were mercilessly hit by punch within the tiny puppet theater home. Airborne went the spider. Nothing mattered to Harlequin. The vulnerable old spider, who was a weaver of the most delicate and intricate of silvery webs, was in the crosshairs of a low-flying bug catcher appearing in the air. The claw-endowed aviator normally dined upon the crawly, multi-legged insects the spider kept out of the box. Once the spider had been flung and spotted, vulnerable in mid-air, there was no hope. The bug catcher crushed him in his giant beak. Spider was dead as Dubarrow's murder victim. Suddenly, briefly above the mailbox, the sky filled with dark, angry, winged carnivores, their thick black feathers obscuring the sun's rays in an ominous manner, far darker than any storm cloud. Harlequin ignored the spider's death she had wrought, ignored the Hitchcock movie-worthy black block overhead, and threw all the unopened mail on the ground. The town quickly became deserted as villagers grabbed onto their children tightly, protecting them from the aerial assault. Nothing, absolutely no letter or small package had her name. No letter bearing the two clown wording appeared as she gazed upon the mail littering the ground, cascading out of the box. And now, only one lone mail carrier remained on duty, trudging along his daily route, depositing letter after letter into the pile. Growing paper mountains sprouted upwards all around the box, over the box, at times growing even 100 times higher than the nearby cedar and spruce trees. Days and weeks passed. More and more mail arrived, piling higher and higher until the sun was totally blocked out. Even in the night, the moon's rays were obscured. Stars shuddered from view. The mountainous correspondence rivaled the Tower of Babel in size to anyone who recalled that ill-fated stunt. All and any spark of light eventually departed. The only light around the clown was above her scowling face, where continuously her electric light bulbs pulsated, flashing, glowed both day and night. Studio 54 would have been impressed. All the scent mail arrived and enlarged a growing, humongous pile while the upset harlequin continued her rants and raves. Not listening to good advice from the elders who long ago left the deserted village, she had not known that the shared opinions of others were important. She left every single bit of mail unanswered, every postcard, letter, even assorted flyers and packages. Hopeful future opportunities were chewed up by the insects that now easily crawled in and out of the box and flew all over the debris. Since the spider was dead, no one prevented bugs from having a feast. Finally, even the harlequin scurried away in the dark one night. Or was it day? No one knew any longer. The light had been blocked from the skies of the land around the village by the clown's mountainous unread mail. Sensing faint light miles and miles away beyond the flickering lights glowing on her head, the clown hurriedly scampered up and down the hill, running farther and farther away from the destruction she caused. Through the lavender hillside, she scrambled over rows of thick bushes fuzzily resembling a giant woolen comforter draped over a distant imagined giant's bed of a landscape. Farther along, where rolling hills like patchwork quilts displayed cascading turquoise waterfalls and jagged edged stony cliffs were all sown, each interlaced in harmony. She stamped away farther and farther. She'd even run in her farther than she'd ever run in her life until she reached land she did not recognize, a strange land, a gated entry. Along with others arriving, all migrant wanderers, all fleeing dark heavens, she suddenly heard the voices of various people around her who had turned towards her. They knew who she was and now called her by the many names she'd read on the mail in her box. All those names she had not recognized written on postage. The very mail she angrily assumed was meant for someone else, not for her. Around her spoke natives of the lands, calling her to her by odd names like Booger Dancer and even Mudhead. She realized all at once that she was all those names, just like the ancient Stupidus of the Romans, and she was even more names. Yes, she was all those names, simply clown in another native language or native tongue. She was the Spanish payaso, the Portuguese payaso, and the Greek skaropactis, all the same, all the names for clown. She listened to each name and began to wonder. She wished that once, long ago, she had taken time to listen to the gentle person who had offered her a free meal when she first arrived in town. and tried to tell her not to be so angry and hurtful, not to lash out. She should have taken time to listen and know that indeed it was all her personal mail. As Harlequin, she had lost a helpful spider and darkened the land by being so stubborn. And once again, one time, where there had been darkness, now the sun slowly came into view, and the moon and the stars equally shone after nightfall. Light blazed forth once again. This was accomplished slowly by removing, sorting, and returning all the mail, all of it, by the dutiful official letter carrier, along with the village's postmaster and staff, even the envelopes chewed by invasive insects. The skies began to clear. All this took place in a distant time, long before our current U.S. Postmaster General was installed. Who knows if the skies would have ever cleared had he been in charge way back then? A frightening thought. What about all the additional tiny flickering lights that were still present in the night? Firebugs had flashed and lit the way for multitudes as they wandered during the long, never-ending night. The villagers cheered these tiny essential workers' efforts now. And now, every time a firebug or lightning fly lights up the night for a brief flickering moment, village children are taught to always remember, listen to advice, take time to hear others, and learn whatever they are trying to share, instead of being unruly harlequins with flashing headlights that blind everyone who approaches. Harlequin, in this tale, knew the lessons, and since she had been transformed, she was once again the shy and now sad hero and not Harlequin. Her headlights must be flashed in the future only to light the way for herself and others, not to express anger or unresolved frustration. No walking path rage, hiking trail rage, absolutely no road rage permitted. And in the end, we all realized she was simply a clown. We do not have time for shenanigans. Come on, let's all do the fandango. The end.
Thank you. Questions, comments? What an imagination. So how long did it take you to put that together?
It was 3 days last winter and I based it on someone I knew. Because I felt instantly upset with this person who actually wore flashing lights on their head. I will think up a story and be creative instead.
I love the way it feels like an ancient tale.
Yeah.
Except not. Do you know what I mean? Thank you, Ivo.
Would you like to send me the PDF to put on top of my mind?
Sure.
That'd be great. Thank you.
And there are sections that are left out because the original story includes references to Julia Cameron and Elizabeth Gilbert that I don't like.
Okay, well,
but
in whatever form you like, in whatever form you like to send.
Okay.